Hello, guys, and welcome back to episode number 5 of The Business Bubble. In this episode, we're going to be talking about personal projects and personal likings and such. So, getting right into it, I have a goal, guys. I have a dream. I have an objective to meet. It's sort of like my transcendental motivation that keeps me going, and it's basically like where I want to go, where I want to be at some point in my life. And that is being able to be a leader not only personally, but economically and socially. So, you know, I loved the feeling of other people being able to put their hopes, their dreams, their confidence, and find trust in a person, in you, basically. If you're a leader, if you're guiding them, and if you're helping them get to a certain point. I really like that, honestly. And I just started to feel that way when I decided to be a leader for one of my classes. Well, one of my courses, basically. We're a group of 6, and I am basically like the self-proclaimed leader, I guess, just because I am always the one who talks more and the one who wants to progress with stuff. So maybe that's why I was the leader. But anyway, I really felt like I liked it, because that way, this is something that Jordan Peterson talks a lot about. You assume responsibility, and that gives you a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning. And it's really quite awesome. It's very healthy for you, actually, I think. So I really like that, and I think I got hooked on it. So I really want to be that personally, you know, in my professional life and my economic life. But also, I think that God has put this desire inside of me for investing and entrepreneurship that not a lot of people have, though. And I really believe that I'll get somewhere. I'll get pretty much you know, something. My ROI is going to be greater than 0, at least. So, oh, by the way, for those who don't know, ROI is return on investment. So, I think it's for a reason, and I think that reason is also to help other people, because my dad, my family actually, they help a lot of my other, uncles and aunts and cousins to live life. You know, sometimes you have more, sometimes you need to help. And I never really understood it, but if you listen to episode 1, then you'll find out that I began starting understanding it. So that's why I really want to be doing that, because I think that I'll be in a position to help other people with their finances, with their maybe they need a place to stay, you know, maybe I have some apartments or something. And I think that that's basically where I'm going to be going. Okay, so if this is the objective that I want to meet in a transcendental space, what about in a more mundane and, say, worldly thing? So what I want to do in that is I really want to be able to provide for my family. And I want to provide them with, one, not only economic, you know, sustain, but also time. I really want to spend time with my family, with my kids and with my wife. And, you know, because my dad, he's a great guy, right? So, but he works like every single day, all day, except, you know, Sundays and Saturdays. But I would really much rather be here helping the home, you know, being closer to them, helping out with chores and, you know, maybe taking them somewhere else and stuff. So I could be that sort of support and help for my family that I really want to be. Spend time with them. Also, free up some time for myself, for my personal projects, and for, you know, my personal brand, and continue to grow. So I really feel that it's a very important thing for me to be able to live in a way that I could produce passive income, so that I can free up the space that I and the time for other things that are, for me, more important in life. So, you know, that's basically my goal, my dream, my objective. Now you guys know it. Now I've put it up out there for reals and formally. Okay, there are 3 types of areas that I really want to dig into in my life. And they are, number 1, business or building a business. Number 2, investing, which means investing in all sorts of different financial mechanisms. And number 3, real estate. Now, I put real estate different from investing because it's, I don't know, I just like to see it as a different thing. But of course, it has like a lot of the same crap, so don't worry. Okay, so number one, in building a business, right now I am in Hubble, right? So we're trying to build this platform that helps students to be able to graduate by gaining work experience, real work experience, and also some sort of remuneration. So that way, you know, we're helping them, we're helping the industry because companies are willing to spend more, willing to spend less money by giving the product that they need developed to a student, and that way they spend less and they get the product that they really need. Now, that's the catch now, right? We gotta be able to deliver that product of quality, that digital product, with a quality assured stamp, like really make the customer happy. Like they have to be super happy or this won't work. That is the primary key to all of this. Okay, so building a business, I think that it's going to be one of my first, one of the most important things in my life, because I'm always going to be looking for entrepreneurial ventures. Even if Hubble doesn't work, I will continue to look for new things because that's what I like. That's what makes me happy. This reminds me a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk. For those who don't know, he is one of the greatest inspiration. He's my greatest inspiration, by the way. And he always talks about self-awareness, right? Really know yourself. Really know what makes you happy and continue doing that. Because for him, taking a break, giving some time for himself, that's not going to make him happy. He's like a workaholic and he likes it. He loves it. He loves to be working all day, you know, sleeping 6 to 5, 7 hours, you know, grinding, hustling. That's his thing. That's what he lives for. And he loves that. And, you know, he loves building businesses. And something that I recently, you know, recognize is that all throughout my life, I've been having these different like sort of skill sets or likings or interests that come together pretty nicely when you're trying to build a business and strategize and execute and outsmart the competition, but not really thinking about the competition that much instead of the customer. The customer should be the primary focus, just like Jeff Bezos is. That's like the area of building a business. As I said, my greatest inspiration is Gary Vee. However, there are other types of inspirations like The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Now, if you haven't read this book, I 1000% recommend you to read it for sure. The Lean Startup is not only, for me, it's not only something that's mandatory. It's mandatory. It's not something like nice. Like you should read it because right now we're living through an era of quick and constant technological change. And The Lean Startup is the thing that you need to develop in your, it's like a framework, it's like a mindset that you have to have present if you're trying to build something out of this technological uprising. And I can go more in depth in this subject later on, for sure. Maybe, I mean, like, honestly, it's a whole book, so I could, like, for sure dedicate one full episode to that. Now, another of my inspirations is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, if you guys didn't know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was written by Robert Kiyosaki, and it's the story of this guy who grows up in Hawaii, and he's got two parents. I mean, one biological dad and one, say, fake dad. But his biological dad, he's a PhD. He works in education. However, his other fake dad, he's like, it's his best friend's dad. That dad, he didn't even finish high school, and he is one of the richest men in Hawaii. And why is that? Well, it's because of mindset. It's because of how they think and how they execute and how they do things. And he basically talks about what are the differences in the way that both of his parents, well, his fake parent and his biological parent, they thought in the life, and how he basically absorbed things from his rich dad that he didn't from his poor dad. And now, Robert, he is one of the most successful business guys out there. You know, he's got a lot of real estate, a lot of business. He's got a business called the Rich Dad Business, I think. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And, of course, if you guys didn't know, actually, you guys didn't know. The thing is that by reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad in my third year of college, I switched. there's something like just that went on in my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like an enlightenment, you know, happened like, whoa, what am I doing with my life? What do I want to do? Whoa, this book is like actually opening the eyes for me. Like, I really want to be doing things like this. And that is what got me to think about what I really liked in my life, what I really wanted to do. Just sort of like, I don't know, I awoken, I guess. I awoken in that sense, and it's never been the same. So I'm very glad for that. I really, really, really recommend those two books, The Lean Startup by Eric Ries and Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Now, I really think that I can take advantage of building a business with the internet and my area of knowledge and the opportunities that that brings. My area of knowledge, for those who don't know, is computer science, software engineering. So even though I'm not passionate about the subject, I find it very interesting and, of course, like as an amazing tool. So I'm not going to disregard that in the slightest. That would be area number one, which is building a business, okay? That's what I'm going to be looking for throughout my life. If Hubble doesn't work, hope it does. But if it doesn't, because you also have to be realistic, sometimes it doesn't, then, of course, I'm going to still be looking for opportunities and ventures with other people. Now, area number two is investing. And when I talk about investing, I mean financial mechanisms, financial products and services. And for this, you know, it's very interesting to create a portfolio. I really want to create one. And a portfolio of investment, it can be, you know, composed of different components. Like the stock market, for example, is like the most famous one. For those who don't know, the stock market is basically a place where companies, they go public, okay? And when a company goes public, that is called basically a stock, and you can purchase a share of that stock, which means that you can own part of that company if you pay for it. However, the company's value can fluctuate. Maybe the company does very well in sales and gets a lot of revenue and everything is beautiful and magical. Now the company has more value. Therefore, the chunk of the company that you have, you know, the share of the stock, it has more value then. And then if you bought at a lower price and you sold at a higher price, then you make a profit. You know, it's as simple as that. That is the stock market in a nutshell. And there are a thing called a mutual fund, okay? So mutual funds, what they do is that they hold a pool of stocks for you. And they most of them are actively managed. That means that there's a guy or a team of people that are trying to outsmart the market and to beat the market in the sense that they can hold a bunch of stocks or a pool of stocks and sort of trade them, you know, throughout the day or throughout the month and the year, try to really maximize that profit for you. And of course, they charge a fee, so I'm not very happy with that. But that's basically a mutual fund. You basically hold a pool of stocks. Now, there's a thing called the index funds. The index funds were created by Jack Bogle. He passed away recently, however. He's really a freaking genius, you know. What an index fund is basically a mutual fund, but it holds the whole index of a stock. Now, for those who don't know, a stock, maybe in the stock market, right, it has a different indexes. For example, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's one. The S&P 500, that's another one. The S&P 500, it's like the most, the 500 biggest or most lucrative, companies in the United States. So you can have a mutual fund that has all of those stocks in that index for you. And the best thing is that they're passive in the sense that you don't have to be paying somebody to be, you know, managing that for you. The idea for an index fund is that it's a very passive and conservative type of investment in the sense that you just put money in and you let the magic of compound interest work. Now, the thing is that compound interest, for those who don't know, it's basically the act of putting in money, right? And it has an interest of return. So that interest, say you put like $10, right? And maybe the interest is 10%. So you're going to get $11 back, right? If that's the investment. Now, what if you put another $10, right? you would have $20 inside of that fund, and the compound interest would work its magic. Now you're not going to receive 11 because you already have 11 in the fund, and then you're putting $10 more in it, you have 21. And that compound interest works because now you're going to receive 10% of that 21, which is 2.1. And if you reinvest that, that means that you are going to be having 23.1. And 10% of that is way different than, you know, it's 2.3. So it compounds over time. It's like a snowball, right? It's the snowball effect. And that's what I really find interesting about this, that you can just passively put $100 per month in that index fund, and by, I don't know, like 30 years or so, you'll have like $1 million. And that's because the interest rate of the S&P 500 is around 6-7%, right, per year, which means that if you do the math and calculate that compound interest by month, then you will be a millionaire in time. So it's pretty interesting. It's actually something that I really want to do, and something that Tony Robbins, by the way, if you haven't heard about him or read any of his books, he's got an amazing book called Unshakable. Now, Unshakable, I think that is the book that opened my eyes to what Wall Street is all about and what the stock market really is about, you know. So he recommends that you should be investing in an index fund as a core, as the core of your portfolio, and then have different things, you know, to really basically complement that. But as a core, you should be investing in an index fund. Now, there are other things like commodities, bonds, ETFs. Maybe I can get like a little bit deeper in these subjects later on. However, I'm just going to say it like, okay, commodities can be anything, like anything tangible or material, like oil, gold, silver, you know, things like that you can buy and that depreciate or appreciate in value over time. Bonds are basically money that you lend to somebody else, and you expect that money to come back to you with interest. Now, bonds can be very tricky because they're also very risky. So if you invest in a bond for, say, a company, that is risky because the company is not obligated to give it back to you. However, if you do it with a government or a, you know, maybe a local government, maybe the United States government, then that is safer. You know, throughout life, the government has been always being safer in bonds. There are another thing called the ETFs. As I mentioned, ETFs are basically sort of like this stock, right? You hold one stock, but that one stock holds more things. For example, maybe you have an ETF. It's like a bag, okay? Think of it like a bag. An ETF can be a bag of bonds, or a bag of stocks and bonds, or a bag of commodities and some stocks, you know? So it can have different things, but you basically hold all of that bag in a single stock. So you can trade that ETF just like you would with a normal stock, you know? So it adds a little bit more variety to the mix. Now, there's another thing called foreign exchange, and that for me is the least of my likings at the moment, because I don't know, there's something about mainstream stuff that I don't really like. I don't know, something that Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger said, I don't know if it was either or both of them, but he basically said, when people put money in, you got to put money out. And when people put money out, you got to put money in. And that's what I feel with this foreign exchange thing. It's like a boom, you know, it's booming. Everybody's using it. Everybody thinks that they're going to get rich really quick. And that's not the reality, because you're trading, you know, you're day trading like through the seconds. So I don't really like it that much. A lot of people are talking about it, but I don't really find it that interesting. I see it more as a scammy thing. However, I know it's not, but it could be, you know. So I'd rather focus on more long-term things, you know, in a long-term game, in a macro game. That's what I want. That's what I like. Okay, so the principles in the stock market, I really get them from a lot of people, but especially Warren Buffett. You know, Warren Buffett is a guy who is very nice. He's very, very happy, very glad. He is a genius investor, and he basically teaches in a very simple way. You buy low, you sell high, you hold it. You know, If you buy an index fund, an S&P 500 index fund, you're basically betting on the United States of America, you know? So if an index fund goes down, then don't grow despondent, because you have either two options. Either one, the United States disappears as we know it, or two, we get back up. And if it gets back up, that's most probably what's going to happen, you know? So you don't worry. Just hold it. Hold it. And it doesn't matter what the market does and fluctuates. It's always going to be okay at the end. Hopefully. Most probably. Okay. And this is a part of finance that really grabs my attention. You know, the stock market, the different financial mechanisms. I really like it. And I'm thinking about studying some of this in college. But, okay, that's for a later time. Okay, I'm going to talk about it later. Okay. Third area of interest, real estate. I put this in a different category because I see it as a more tangible and real thing. Also, with Airbnb and things of that nature that just come up, I think it has like its own niche, and I find it very interesting for myself. Now, my family has an apartment, okay? And I really want to be able to have one or more apartments because, as I see it, it's like a way of passive income. You have people who need a house, who need a home. You provide them with a home, and you receive a constant cash flow per month. That's at least the idea. Of course, there are going to be some setbacks and maybe some very ugly tenants that don't pay you at all. But that's the idea. Now, there's another idea. Now, there's another thing. I want to have one or more apartments for sure. I think that they're very lucrative and very nice. And offices, also office space in buildings, you know, that's what I can rent to a business. And I think it's a little bit more professional, a little bit more safe, because you're not dealing with personal tenants. You're dealing with a business, and that business has to pay. Of course, the cost of, what do you call it? The cost of entry for that sort of investment is a little bit higher, but I think it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. And this is something that I got from Robert Kiyosaki and his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, as I mentioned before. I totally recommend it. And it is also something that I got from my uncle. My uncle has an office space in Cartago, and he's doing very well. He actually recommended for me to save up, you know, maybe put that in a investment savings account and just wait. And when you have enough money and then you can buy stuff, that is when you just wait, let time do its magic, and the cash flow is going to be coming. Now, I really want to be doing that for sure. Also, Dan Locke. I think he's a really good source of tough inspiration and perspective. However, I tend to not over sympathize with him that much. I really sympathize more with Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins, Warren Buffett, Robert Kiyosaki, Eric Ries, you know, all these people that I've mentioned before. There are sources of inspiration for me more than Dan Locke, though. But okay, those are like my three big things right now that I want to be doing, and I'm very excited to get into them for real and for sure. Now, I got another one. I got another small venture that I'm doing with my sis. Now, my sister, she's baking cookies, right? And she wants to sell them, and I'm helping her to sell them because I really want to improve my selling skills. Like in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki says that the most important skill that you should develop in your life is the ability to sell. Because it's not to sell, you know, products or services. You also have to be able to sell yourself. You know, the act of persuasion is not really, you know, controlling people's minds that much. It's really trying to find the common ground or a place where both parties think that the deal is okay. And that is when a deal is actually good, you know? That's something that also my uncle told me, one of my other uncles. The deal is only good if both parties think it's good. And that's what I really want to get to. And that's also attainable if what you're selling is something that you believe in, you know? If you don't believe what you're selling, then it's going to be so, so, so tough to sell it. That happened to me in my garage sale because a lot of the stuff, I really didn't want it, you know? So I basically lowered prices like crazy. I had a garage sale like last year, and I basically gave up like almost for free a lot of stuff. I really don't want that to happen ever again, and I think that happens if you believe in the value of the product. If you yourself would buy it, then that is a very good indication that you're going to be good at selling it. And, well, yeah, that's basically my small venture right now with my sissy. And, okay, maybe a little bit about college, okay? I'm about to finish college right now. As I'm speaking, I'm in my last semester. Then I'm going to be able to have a semester of practice, you know, professional technical practice, and then graduation. Now, I think that college is very good for certain things, not for everything. And it depends. Also, you know, going back to self-awareness, if you think and if you feel that college education is going to really help you out with what you want to do in your life, then for sure, go for it. But if your goal is not to have a job or to be able to, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, should you really go to college? You know, here in Costa Rica, it's very easy because public universities, they're really nice. They are super cheap. They offer really great education. I'm talking about like world-renowned education for, what, $400 per semester? So it's really, really cheap. It's really good. But in the States, it's completely different. You know, everybody is drowning in student debt. And I don't want that for myself. Also, I don't really think that a college education is like 100% always going to be the best source of information or education per se, because there are a lot of other different mechanisms and things of that nature with technology. So, for example, there's Coursera, and Coursera offers a lot of different courses that, by the way, colleges, universities like Stanford and Harvard and Wharton, they offer these courses. You just got to pay like, what, like a bunch $100 or something like that. So I'm really thinking about it. You know, I really want to learn about finance for sure and marketing. Well, marketing, I think I can basically sort of handle that with a Skillshare course or here and there. But finance, I find it a little bit more daunting and formalized. So that's why I wanted something like a college education. However, I'm not feeling like going back to college after 4 years of college. I really don't feel like it. And two, I don't really know if that's the best way to go, you know, because I just want to learn to learn. I don't want to learn to get a job. I want to learn to be able to use that knowledge in my own personal endeavors. And that's my issue with college right now. So, well, that's basically it, I guess, for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, guys. I'm very excited to get you with me on this journey and show you what I've been experiencing and what I've been thinking and things. So, you know, hopefully soon enough, we're going to be doing things at Hubble. Right now, we're, as I mentioned, at our very end in the semester. So everybody is basically dying with projects and homework and tests. Afterwards, after like 2 weeks or so, we're really going to be going deep and doubling down on Hubble and our early adopters. And yeah, it's going to be freaking amazing. Pretty interesting. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one very soon, hopefully. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. God bless you.